Right now, it is ABC Local Radio. It is summer. I am Ian Rogerson, and let's talk about Rupert Murdoch, who for many years said the internet is the home of porn, thievery, and hackers. Well, it seems he's finally gone over to the other side and started tweeting. It began on New Year's Eve with a maybe slightly disastrous tweet about the fact that British people maybe shouldn't be taking so many holidays for a country that's broke. That was rapidly taken down off his tweet, advised by his wife, Wendy Deng. But he is online. And what does this say for social media, particularly amongst people of a certain age? Because let's face it, Rupert Murdoch is 80 now. Well, joining us is a prolific Twitterer and digital commentator, Stilgarian. Good morning to you, Stilgarian.
Good morning, Ian.
Is it still for short?
Yes, by all means.
Good.
Please, four syllables is enough for anyone.
Let's face it, it's still pretty close to the holiday season for me.
Yeah. You know, I think we're close to getting the hangover starting to wear off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is something that no doubt gets talked about on the Twitterverse. And how big a deal is it for somebody who's a media mogul like Rupert Murdoch and somebody who's eschewed the World Wide Web for so long to actually become part of the Twitterverse?
Look, I had, you know, a mixed reaction when I first saw this. And, you know, there's always tea leaf reading when anyone with any kind of fame joins Twitter or joins Facebook or does anything like that. But my first reaction was, well, if this guy is the greatest media mogul on the planet, shouldn't he have been using Twitter maybe 2 years ago?
Mm.
Now, that's not to say Twitter is the be-all and end-all of everything. It's not. It's relatively small compared to, you know, Facebook's complete domination of the social media space. But it is something that's used extremely heavily by media people, by people developing the future broadly, to kind of stay in touch with their peers. And, you know, for someone to only be getting to it at New Year's Eve at the dawn of 2012, it seems a bit behind the pace. And then when you look at what's being tweeted, I thought, well, this is just an old bloke exploring Twitter for the first time. It could be, you know, Uncle Lynn who got given his iPad for Christmas.
Could be a relative. Still, just take us through it. I mean, how old is Twitter? Is it 5 years old yet?
Yes. I sort of go from memory. Yes, it is. It's about 5 years old. It's got about 100 million active users. So it's very much an established part of what's going on. And as I say, it tends to be used by those people who are more heavily connected than others. So it's not for everyone, but it really is part of the world.
And now, is that because they're the people who can actually get followers? And that's really what it's all about, preaching not so much to the converted, but to people who'd be interested in what you've got to say.
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's people just dipping into it who hardly ever, you know, publish a tweet themselves, but are just wanting to stay in touch with breaking news or the celebrities they follow. And you've got to remember that, you know, Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga are two of the most popular people on Twitter. People hang on their every word. Stephen Fry is another. I mean, he's got, what is it, 1.5 million followers on Twitter, although he does, you know, say some interesting things. And then there are things like just small groups of people talking amongst their friends or family without paying any attention to, you know, what celebrities or what news feeds are happening. It's very, it's a medium in which you can really create your own view of the universe through who you're following. And that
really is the social networking side, isn't it? Because it can actually be global if you wanted to, but it can really also be quite a tight community.
Oh, sure. You know, you could just choose if you're living in Alice Springs to only follow everyone on Twitter who's in Alice Springs. And for, you know, working journalists or working marketing people and so on, to be able to drill down into the conversation streams of quite specific groups of people, that becomes a very powerful resource for them. And I suppose that's really what drives those kind of people, including myself, being such heavy users.
I've often wondered whether or not Twitter, in a way, is not a reinvention of the Japanese haiku poems, where everything has to be short and to the point, because it really is. It's 140 characters, isn't it?
That's right, and that was chosen so it could fit inside an SMS message, which is 160 characters plus, you know, a little bit of signalling overhead so that they know what to do with the tweet. And it does, in fact, writing tweets in haiku is a bit of a popular thing amongst some people. I sat down where I was just sitting in a very pleasant bar one Sunday afternoon. It was out in the open air, and it was such a lovely day. This thunderstorm was about to roll in over Sydney. I just thought I'd start describing the world around me in haiku for about an hour.
You've got to get alive.
Yes, that's quite true. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Still Garion, who's a prolific Twitterer and digital commentator. We're talking about Rupert Murdoch actually arriving on Twitter finally in 2012. Is it used for good or evil, Still?
Well, Rupert Murdoch will, of course, be using it for evil.
Your words are
mine. Oh, dear. I've just made the ABC anti-Rupert Murdoch joke of the day. You'll get complaints about that. Look, it'll be interesting to see what Murdoch does with this, because what he's done so far, as you said, the first tweet, which was obviously just a brain fart or something, where he said, you know, perhaps for a country that's broke, Britain should, you know, have less public holidays. I mean, part of me goes, so what? Someone makes a joke. We all make jokes on Twitter, and we all, you know, that's in fact part of the joy of the medium. It's a constant stream of people making sarcastic comments about the world around them, particularly, say, following ABC programs like Q&A, if you look at the tweets related to that.
But it comes really back to bite people, though, doesn't it, Still? A number of people have lost their jobs, and I noticed that Wendy Deng was very fast on Twitter, to Rupert, saying, get it down as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and, he's got to find his feet in a way. It's interesting that he probably has been left to just... he's using an iPad. He's probably sitting with his iPad over the weekend after New Year's Eve and having a poke at it and sending a few tweets out it and exploring it. But there's no sign that he's really exploring in depth. I mean, he's following five people, and let me just bring that up in front, because it really is such a huge range of people he's decided to follow here. One of them is Evan Williams, which is the founder of Twitter, and we believe that's who set up Rupert's account. Mark Pincus, who was the founder of Zynga, the company that made the Facebook games Farmville and Mafia Wars, amongst others, so an internet entrepreneur. Lord Sugar, who was behind Amstrad Computers in the UK and is now an investor in various companies. Tim Fox, who's a journalism professor in Texas. And
so these are possible luminaries he may have been talking to anyway.
Well, exactly. But then that's another thing that you use Twitter for, and it's not something I use for. It's just letting my friends know what I'm doing and, you know, which pub I'll be drinking at and things like that. And if, you know, it doesn't worry me whether anyone else knows that. In fact, the other useful thing that happens when I've said where I'm going to be having lunch, other people have said, oh, I've been meaning to catch up with you to discuss thus and such. I'll pop in.
Oh, wow. So that's the social side of the social network.
Absolutely.
I'm just thinking with Twitter, and there'd be some of our listeners now who'd be thinking, I have no idea how to even access it. Is it a very simple process?
Very simple. You just go to twitter.com and you create an account straight away just by picking a username. It probably asks for your email address so it can just bounce you a verification and say, is this really, you know, your email address, so we can set it up and start off. It's the website's laid out very, very simply, and there's lots of guides to how to use it. And in fact, one of the first things you do when you first create your Twitter account, they suggest a whole bunch of people you might like to start off following, a mix of news feeds in your area and
and somewhere in there, no doubt, Will Anderson.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you could follow Will Anderson if you wanted to, but, you know. Yeah, it's exactly that. Yeah. People, you know, and it's divided into sections. Hey, here's some Australian comedy stars, here's some musicians.
Yeah, fantastic. So then, you've got a selection.
Yeah, and, you know, you can also, it has the option of saying, well, if you I'm always uncomfortable with this, but it says if you've got a Hotmail or Gmail account or something, just let us log into that and we'll check your contacts and see if there are any of them on Twitter and let you know.
That's where the slight... When I was talking about the good and evil, I wasn't necessarily talking about Rupert Murdoch. I was, in fact, talking about that side of things and also spamming and advertising. I mean, is that something that started to filter through the Twitterverse?
There is a bit of spam. Twitter themselves don't indulge in that kind of thing because although the equation, I mean, you're not paying for Twitter, but what they have is, of course, all of this analysis of who your friends are and who you're talking to and about what subjects, so they can sell that aggregate information to marketers and so on. And that's really how, well, all of the so-called free online services operate. You pay with your privacy.
Yes,
there are spammers on Twitter. There's robot accounts on Twitter that notice, you know, every time you mention, iPad, they'll message you to say you can get a free iPad by going here and all of the usual stuff.
Now, I've got to ask you finally, Stilgarian, have you tweeted at all during this conversation?
Not during the conversation, but I have been watching and including some of the tweets back to me in what I've said.
I hope the reviews have been good.
I think so. Just the usual one of... Actually, the one I'll finish on is that certainly because Rupert Murdoch is seen as an anti-internet figure, there's certainly a lot of stuff coming through. You know, as I say, the evil man has joined Twitter sending him their complaints. One of the most recent was someone just called him, like sent him a message saying, Rupert Murdoch, you odious little cretin.
I guess that's if you open yourself up to the web, and I found that too with blogging and various other areas, it is a bit of a coliseum, really, in many ways. You're going to get the good and the bad.
Absolutely. It's the world. It's you open up a window onto the world, and the world has all of those things in it.
And you've got to let the weather in. Stilgarian, a pleasure talking to you. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Anytime, Ian.
Okay, thank you. Stilgarian there. I never did find out what his real name was, but I guess I'll have to take it at Still. Prolific Twitterer and digital commentator, a little bit there about the Twitterverse. I really should be part of it one day. Wouldn't hold my breath too long.